And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan with you for the next few minutes. And on the phone with me is Dr. Brian White, of course, the superintendent for the Butler School District. We wanted to talk about where the school is right now in regards to COVID-19. Dr. Brian White, thank you for being here. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Tracy. I appreciate you having me on.
We just did a news story here this week where we are talking about the substantial COVID infections reported by the State Department of Health. I know you mentioned in your meeting a couple of days ago at this point that on Friday we could possibly find out more, and how you were mentioning that whatever the Department of Health comes out with a recommendation is just that. It's a recommendation. The school districts are not required to follow that. Can you explain a little bit more what we could possibly hear from the Department of Health and how that applies to the Butler School District?
Sure. So the state makes a determination about community spread of COVID-19, and they present some metrics to the school districts in the county and the county itself, and then they make a recommendation. Now, the way with the substantial designation, they look at two consecutive Fridays in a row. So last Friday, they determined we were at the substantial level because we had 111.2 cases per 100,000 residents in Butler County. And they will present us a new calculation this upcoming Friday, which, based off the trend lines and just watching the data, I would suspect is going to be above that threshold again. The other way is the percent positivity they look at. We're slightly below that threshold. And they also provide us some insights as well. So this past Monday, we had our first meeting with them to talk about our data, some of which is just very public, readily available. But some other pieces were very interesting that they shared as well. For example, they shared that 40% of the cases last week in Butler were tied to an outbreak or a known exposure, and then inversely, 60% of the cases had not been linked to a known exposure. Not that that changes anything greatly for us, but, you know, our question with that, of course, is it a congregant living facility? Is it people isolated that we should not be considering, things of that nature? But they also give us the age breakdown. And again, the 18 and under really doesn't have the COVID cases that the adults do, and I don't know why that is. I am not a public health official, and so we try to do the best we can with it. We do continue to meet with representatives of Butler Hospital, Butler Health System, every Monday. Dr. Rodinghaus has been outstanding in his availability to us to help us understand what we're looking at and to make informed decisions. Yes, it is a recommendation, but at the same time, as I mentioned, I'm not a public health official. I'm very hesitant to disregard the recommendations of public health officials who have been trained in this when it talks about the safety of other people in our schools. And again, I mentioned the low numbers and incidents for youth, but, you know, we have almost 850 staff members in building plus contracted employees that are adults as well.
And I want to ask if you would address how the decision came about for the latest decision of having your secondary schools learn remotely and the elementary schools continue to learn in-house, if you will, or go to school. And I ask that because I saw some comments, of course, you know, social media has a lot of different opinions on it, but there were some comments questioning, well, why were they looking at the community spread and not what was in the school? You don't have a high case incidence in the school, do you?
We did not. Now, in the last few days, it has grown with the number of people that are informing us. One of the hard parts about knowing what's in our school is we don't know. To date, the Department of Health has yet to call me about any case in any of our schools. The only time we have found out is because a parent or a employee has self-reported it to us.
Dr. White, if you don't mind, let me stop you for a moment there, because what you just told me is not what we initially talked about a couple of weeks ago with your relationship with the Department of Health. They were supposed to call you with the information. What is the relationship right now with the Butler School District and the Department of Health? Are you saying that they're not contacting you at all?
Yeah, so let me be clear. The Department of Health, as of November 10th, has not contacted us about any case that informed us at first about the case. We have always found out about the case from someone else first, which, face value, would be somewhat reliable. Parents are going to find out about their case before the health department because it gets reported to the health department. The health department we have been in contact with contact tracing and for verification of positive cases. But that does not mean that if someone has a positive case and they don't report it to us, they very well could be in our schools and we know nothing about it.
And in the beginning when we talked, I don't know how many weeks ago it is now, I mean, this all kind of blends together in the way of days and weeks, but when you and I talked a couple of months ago, we'll just say a few weeks ago, didn't you share with me that the thought was that the Department of Health was supposed to be in contact with schools?
Yes, the Department of Health, as we were led to believe at the beginning of the school year, was the Department of Health would be informing us of cases and that we would have a duty to notify community members and provide information for contact tracing, which the Department of Health would be conducting.
Interesting. So again, it's the community coming together and helping the school, if you will, understand that there are cases within households and therefore you are acting upon that. Where does contact tracing come into play with this if the Department of Health is not initially contacting you?
We are officially doing contact investigating at the school level. When a parent or employee notifies us of a positive case, we start looking at the seating charts for our classrooms. We look at the seating charts for our buses. We start talking to them about who they may have been around. And then we share that information with the Pennsylvania Department of Health. And then they, in turn, are supposed to make contact with the families.
Well, that's a big turnaround of events. I mean, because, again, when we talked a couple of months ago, that wasn't the original initiative to this. And then what happens to you and your staff in the way of time and energy? Because I thought the Department of Health was supposed to be doing the contact tracing.
It really is. It's an enormous amount of time, particularly for our nurses, our building principals, sometimes even our counselors are helping out, because these are not easy determinations, and it takes time and paper and phone calls to talk to people. So, you know, it is taking a considerable amount of time. And we may have thought of our staffing a little bit differently in the summer had we known this was going to be how it was going to be. But I do want to circle back to your real initial question on this,
yes,
too, about community spread.
Yes.
So this summer, when we passed our phased reentry plan, safety plan for the school district, we adopted a chart, which we called our mode of operations, based on community spread. And the Pennsylvania Department of Education issued a chart that we used as a template for it, but we adapted it. And in that chart, the state had suggested that if your community has 10 or less cases per 100,000 residents, then you should be in live instruction. Anything between 10 and 100, you should be in some form of blended instruction. We modified that because we had 30-some percent of our students moving to a cyber platform from the beginning to say, okay, we're going to take those 30% kids, add them to the 10, and say, we're going to operate in a protective manner, but live instruction 5 days a week until we exceed 40 cases per 100,000 at the secondary level. And we kept the threshold at 100 cases per 100,000, which is what the state chart said for the elementary in the blended model. And the rationale behind that is at the elementary level, we had space and staff. We were able to divide our rooms and make smaller classrooms, so the kids are substantially socially distanced the vast majority of the day, if not the entire day. At the secondary, that's just not feasible with the construction size of our rooms in the hallways and students moving. And so we actually just revised our mode operating chart, because right now, prior to the revision, it was 41 cases and above, we'd be in remote instruction. Now moving forward, 41 to 80 cases, we will move to a cohort hybrid model. Now, right now, Butler County is still over that threshold, but the idea is to get our students back into the classroom sooner rather than later at the secondary.
Now, obviously, when we're talking, it's not Friday yet, so do you have any idea of where the school will go once we get the information?
Well, we could always act ahead of time if we thought it was in the best interest of everyone. Right now, the trend lines are that we're going to exceed the substantial threshold again, and maybe even at a higher threshold than was last week, a higher number. The cases do seem to be going up, not down at this point.
Dr. Brian White, superintendent of the Butler School District. Dr. White, let me ask you an overall question, if you will. And when I ask this, I do not mean to imply that this is the fault of the teachers or the school district. This is of no fault to the teachers and school district because of this pandemic. But do you think that students as a whole are falling behind in education?
Yes, but not necessarily the way everyone thinks. Let me start by saying, you know, our local data at the elementary level for our kids who are in school, which is a little easier to assess, has not shown the academic learning loss that we all suspected. The secondary, I don't have a good measure, and I suspect it's really there. But education of our students is not just an academic endeavor. It's a social, developmental endeavor as well. And I think there is no good measure to measure the social learning loss about how to interact with others, how to work on a project, how to show respect to others around you when kids are learning in isolation. So I think there is going to be a profound learning loss when you look at it as the whole child, even though the academic learning loss on various metrics might be okay and recoverable.
It's an interesting point that you make, and I'll tell on one of my children to you. And again, I've said that on this program before that I'm not going to say what school district that they attend, but the comment was made in our house the other day of, well, I could just go back online and learn because it's easier. And I thought, but aren't you missing the point of how to overcome a challenge?
Yeah, and I think that's right on. I mean, if we're teaching facts, figures, and regurgitation of information, the computer's wonderful. We can do it. If we're trying to teach how to work collaboratively, work through a problem, problem solve real-world problems, I think that's more challenging for people to do online. Now, there are some great examples of it from highly motivated kids in certain situations, but at the end of the day, our kids are best served when they're in school, and that's why we really are trying to take every step we can to have them in school.
How does a school district plan for the future when there's a school year, a generation of kids that may be a little behind?
Well, you know, it's sort of what we just talked about before, behind in what, and behind as measured to who, because I suspect across America, their peers, if you're measuring across peers, we have an entire peer group that isn't quite where they once were academically because of content and things of that have been scrunched in. And, you know, I think each situation is going to be very, very different. And I'll try to illustrate with two points. If we have a third grade student that falls behind in English language arts because of the pandemic, good chance that child's not alone. We might be able to, through flexible grouping and interventions, work with that child and a group of children, say it's 10, 20, 30% of the students, and, you know, make up that learning over the next 18 months. That's solvable. The real challenge is at secondary level. You know, our kids that took chemistry last year and missed weeks of chemistry, they moved on to a different course. How do you recapture that portion of chemistry? You're not sure where they went next. Is it impacting them in AP biology or AP chemistry? Is that AP chemistry teacher now trying to reteach pieces of chemistry that they would have missed during that time as well? So that's where the art of teaching and the complexity of all the pressures being put on the teachers right now really comes into play, because there is just an immense amount of soul searching about what matters most because of my limited time with the students to identify critical content to make sure the kids get what they need.
I've wondered on my own at times, and you don't have to reply to this, but how school piques the interest of students as they go into their future. Maybe let's take your chemistry class for an example. Maybe if they take chemistry, then that piques their interest into becoming a chemist or a chemistry teacher or a scientist. And what happens when those classes aren't there to pique the interests of students?
Well, and to that point, I agree with that. And the point is even larger than that, because it's not just schools that are shutting down. We frequently would take kids to workplaces for visits, hospitals for visits, manufacturing facilities for visits. And right now, those visits aren't occurring. And actually, most college visits aren't occurring. They're becoming all virtual, which is a very different experience to make life choices with. So I do have the same question about how are people going to make choices about livelihoods when they can't experience it quite the same way as we have in the past to make that decision.
Dr. White, I want to ask you about athletics, but since you mentioned college, how does this year or can this year affect a senior who may possibly have some college aspirations? Is the application going to be different, the application process for juniors and seniors?
So a lot of schools are going test optional right now because of COVID. So for certain kids, that's an advantage. For other kids, you know, it might be a disadvantage, but they can still submit test scores if they want to. So, you know, we don't, as you know, every college sets and university sets their own guidelines for admissions. So it's a little bit all over the place. I've heard from some that there are more online interviews occurring than they were used to, than they had experienced in the past. So I think that might be one thing that's a little different. But again, I think one of the biggest challenges is more on the student end in determining where they want to go, because they can't go visit. quite the same way.
Again, Dr. Brian White, superintendent of Butler School District. I want to ask you about athletics, and I know you need to get back to work, so I do appreciate your time. Let's talk about athletics. I know Butler put a pause on athletics, and I'm wondering if it's just going to be for this week or two, or do you see a bigger pause as we go throughout the fall?
I really hope not. I think that kids need athletics. They need outs. They need exercise. They need socialization. And I also believe, back to my earlier statement about we best serve kids when they're in school, if you look at all the mitigation efforts we have as compared to what kids do necessarily on their own in the community, I think they're best served from a safety perspective in school as well. But in the athletic component, we are in between seasons right now. We have our secondary schools in remote instruction. We're starting to hear numbers of students that may have tested positive, some of which are student athletes, still waiting to confirm that. And it just felt like the prudent thing to do was to suspend athletics for this week, reevaluate on Friday, see what the data suggests from the state, and take this 1 week at a time.
How does the Butler School District pull off fall seasons? And I'll ask just for the Butler School District because you are the superintendent of this district. I won't ask for you to speak for all schools, but how do you pull off a full fall season of athletics? Because you're likely going to run into schedule adjustments and cancellations and team members being off the team for a while if they are exposed or have cases. How do you pull off a complete season?
Well, so our fall season has concluded, so we're now moving on to our winter season. So we're in the preseason stuff for that right now. We don't necessarily pull off a full season. As the fall taught us, there were a number of teams in the WPIL and PAAA that had to forfeit their playoff opportunities because of COVID on their teams or their inability to play because of quarantines. We experienced this in the fall of our own contests. We lost a couple of our games because of COVID being present on another team or, you know, things of that nature or too many people quarantined. So basically, you are playing when you can. And the WPIL has said that they will look at the school's records and make determinations if necessary to determine who moves on to the playoffs if you're not able to play the entire time.
Then let's talk about what the winter season looks like as we move sports indoors. Of course, we all know what we went through with the battle of trying to get parents and spectators into stadiums. But now if you're moving indoors, what does that look like?
Well, the one difference right now is there's not orders from the governor preventing congregant group gatherings inside. It doesn't mean that common sense goes out the window, but it does mean that it's very realistic for us to have at least parents in a gym that holds 2,000 people to watch 10 kids play basketball. So I do see a better chance for our parents to be able to watch winter sports now that it's in our hands and in an appropriate and safe manner.
And then let me ask you one more question when we're talking about seniors in relationships to sports. Does it change their chances or hurt the students' athletes' possibility of any scholarship money?
You know, I'm really not knowledgeable enough to answer that. I think that, you know, Mr. Milan, our athletic director, or someone at the university level would probably be better equipped to answer that.
Yeah. Dr. Brian White, superintendent of Butler School District, any final thoughts you want to leave with us at this point? I'm sure we'll talk again before the school year is out, but where we are right now as we're going into the winter, what would you like to tell the community?
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for your patience in all this. We had a great first quarter with students back, and I'm hoping that the forecasts on the COVID data are wrong, and this is a bump up for a couple weeks, and we can get students back in school.
And let me I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
My goal is to have students back in school as soon as we can safely do that.
And what do you need from the community? I've asked you that before, and I ask it even more so now because of the information you offered to us a few minutes ago about the relationship with the Department of Health. Do you need the community to keep calling? Is that crucial to what you're doing right now?
Yeah, it is very important. Even when we're in remote instruction, for us to know if there are students that have tested positive for COVID, because when we come back, we need to make sure that we have the appropriate people excluded from school and included in school so that we don't spread this. And at this point, if there's any wish I have for the community is, please do everything you can to be socially distant and stop the spread of this, because it's impacting kids, in a way that it's hard to make up. And so I really think anything we can do as adults to help put ourselves in a position to get back to school sooner is what we need to do.
Dr. Brian White, thank you so much for your time.